Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. Today I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey!
Good morning.
How y'all doing, everybody?
Slash afternoon for those listening in
That's
the Eastern time
zone.
What is this, a Crayola shirt?
I don't know what you call this shirt, but
that's
I did
a nice
have,
shirt. I like that.
But I did have a dream last night that four bales of hay bowed down to mine, your four bales. So I'm just saying, I don't know what that
okay,
means.
Okay, Joseph, by the way.
Christian watercolors.
It's watercolors. That's good, too. All right, Steve.
Steve and his four cups of coffee. Do you drink coffee, Steve?
I do not.
Okay, well, you definitely had your caffeine this morning.
Well, no, I probably consume way more five-hour energy than I should.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's even jacked up more than coffee, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's vitamins and everything. But, yeah, they say it's not good for you. But here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have this, but I have to get up. I have to be here at 7 in the morning, and I have an hour drive to get here. So my alarm goes off at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not really a morning guy, so that's hard.
Sure.
Now, my wife is a night girl, a night person.
Yeah.
It's not unusual at all that it's 1 o'clock in the morning before she winds down enough to go to sleep, and she's usually in bed doing her work or you know, Facebook or whatever, and we're talking, and so I don't get to sleep until 1 or 2 in the morning. So I kind of have to do something because
I'm getting very little sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, you would. That's the case.
Well,
yeah. That's your problem.
I don't know what to tell you. I you know, spent many years in the pastorate. If you came to me with that issue, I would say, I don't know what to tell you to do. You got to have sleep. And I will say this.
It's not a spiritual problem. I don't think I bring it to my pastor.
It's a marital problem.
Nope.
She's keeping you up, and you need to get some sleep.
All right. Now the pastor part of me is saying, now I'm saying, hey, okay.
Marriage.
I will say this. In terms of making these adjustments to our lives when people tell you that's not good for you, that's not good for you. Today was bacon day.
Oh.
All right, which means like once a week my wife will make bacon and send it with my eggs in the morning and a little tortilla. That's what I have. And I have to eat that like after I get here, because if I eat it at 6 in the morning or 6:30, by the time the show's on, my stomach's growling and it's loud. Brent Creeley has heard my stomach on the air before. So so bacon day, I go, you know what? I know this is probably not good for me, but I'm eating the bacon.
It's bacon day!
So
you're
anyway.
You made it to 64.
66.
Yeah. You made it to 66, so obviously it's not keeping you back that much.
No, I hope not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Let's get to the news.
All right. The headwinds against which Donald Trump has to face, has to push when he's trying to get elected, continue to grow. So, you know the deal that was made when RFK Jr. decided to drop out of the race and endorse Trump? He said he was going to be keeping his name on the ballot in all those states that are deep red or deep blue, where his being on the ballot's not going to make a big difference. He wants to know how many people vote for him. He's going to keep his name on those ballots. But in swing states, important states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and everything, he wants to take his name off because he's going to be taking votes away from Donald Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, the secretaries of state in Michigan and Wisconsin have decided that they're not going to allow his RFK Jr.'s name to be taken off the ballot.
Yeah, see, that's a problem. If a person doesn't want to be on a ballot, you take them off. You don't force somebody to run for president if they don't want to.
And we're far enough out from the election where that should not be a problem. Second of all, and I don't want to step on any you're talking about Cornel West?
Well,
go ahead.
Secretary of State – in the same week, was desperately trying to get Cornel West off of the Michigan ballot because he would take away votes from Kamala Harris.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So if you can take Cornel West, now Cornel West is a true socialist,
and the court or whoever said that they cannot take his name off.
Oh, they did. So they cannot take Cornel West off.
Yeah, but she's appealing that.
But that's because Cornel West wants to be on the ballot.
He's still running for president.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, so here's the headwinds he's running against. Ballot access. In other words, this to, you know, the having people on the ballot that are going to take his votes away from him and other states trying to keep him off the ballot.
Right.
A compliant media. We've talked tons about how the media is all in bed for the Democrats, and
yes,
they will lie or hide or cheat or steal or do whatever, and this CBS, CNN interview is the prime example. Democrat lawfare, of course, you've seen all of these
new indictments by Jack Smith.
That happened recently, but all these new, all of those cases are just
right.
ridiculous and obviously made just to put political pressure on him. Then we have the weaponization of the DOJ. The FBI, remember that?
Right.
That has been there.
The intelligence branches.
The compliance of Big Social. All
yes.
the censorship and thing from Big Social. Now, that's
yeah,
also
Mark
going
Zuckerberg
on.
Admitted, forcefully admitted, yeah. we covered that yesterday, that he helped out.
All of the election laws that are still in the books from COVID, the early voting, which helps Democrats and
right.
hurts Republicans. And then... maybe it's not as big a headwind, but it is, I think, a little bit. We have all these rogue evangelicals who are trying to say that evangelicals can vote for...
evangelicals for Harris.
For Harris.
I don't even think they're rogue.
Like
I think
Russell
they're
Moore,
just,
David French, and those
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, they're just all in.
So,
yeah, listen.
I mean, it's hard to run for president, but they hate the man so much. They will do anything to stop him. And yesterday we wondered about the fact of whether the assassination attempt was something was up there.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to not like, if you're Russell Moore and you're a Christian and that group
right.
Of people, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm not voting for him because of his lifestyle and his personality and the things that he says, and you can make a long list.
Yeah, mean tweets.
Mean tweets. You could do that. And you know, I just be like, well, I think that's bad. But
yeah.
go ahead. But if you're going to be opposed to him as a Christian based on his policies and what he's done, that's inconsistent because most, if not a lot of what he does is pro-American.
Right.
It helps people get more jobs. It prospers us. Like these are all the majority of the things that he did, overwhelmingly majority, was helpful.
Yes.
Beneficial for everybody from the lens of a Christian worldview.
Right.
So this is very and what's the alternative? If you were what were some more of his position on Harris or Walz? Is there any comment on that group of people like him, like David French? Are they in support of Harris?
Yes.
Do we know?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay.
All
well, that's
in.
Odd.
Evangelicals.
Yes.
For
that's odd.
Yeah. And if you read, like, Megan Basham's book, she says it's... Shepherds for Sale. She says it's a concerted effort by George Soros and those types of people to basically put wolves in sheep's clothing.
Well, now, if he paid me as much as he's paying others, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know...
No,
I'm kidding.
Wesley Wildman for Harris?
You saved me. You saved me for the people that didn't think I was joking.
There are 10%,
yes,
like Tim
right.
says, there are 10% of our listeners who are literalists.
Yes.
If you say it, they're going to believe
in
it.
In capital letters.
Yeah. They're going to say, Wesley Wildman said... that if he got paid enough money, he'd support Kamala Harris.
And if you're one of those people, we want to tell you we love you.
And
but that doesn't mean we're going to be buying you dinner.
That's right.
And I know, I've known Wesley for years and years. That was tongue-in-cheek.
Quite the opposite, yeah.
Tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. Well, listen, let me just say this. Here's another thing. Okay, I was talking to someone this morning, and I'd never thought of this. Have you guys seen the video of this poor woman, Sonia Massey, I think is her name, in Illinois somewhere? She calls the police. She's a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen this? She called the police because there was something. I don't know whether it was a peeping Tom or something. She calls the police to her house. She is boiling water, getting ready to make spaghetti or something. Anyway, the police are in her house, white cops, and... She says something about Jesus, and this one cop appears to lose his mind. Have you seen this? She had the boiling water. She was going to pour it in the sink. He said, drop the boiling water. She said, what, I'm not doing anything. He shoots her
mm-hmm.
and kills her. I've seen the video of this. Yeah. It's horrifying, okay? White cop shoots a black woman in Illinois. No riots. No riots in 2024. George Floyd in 2020, while Trump is still president. The country burns.
Yep.
Okay? So I want to know why there were no riots. This got plenty of play for like 3 days in the media. Right. What happened to this black woman? Not a peep out of Black Lives Matter, Antifa. No riots anywhere. Nobody looting.
No peaceful protests.
No peaceful protests. And I'm thinking, well, why? Well, it's because Joe Biden's president.
Yeah.
And in 2020, we want to give the impression that the country is critically racist.
That's right.
You know, just
I hadn't racist made that connection. From, that's a good point.
Well, this was a good point made. I'm not. It was my son. I'm in conversation with my son. He said, "How come there's no protests? This just happened in July."
Yeah,
okay, and so I'm adding that
yeah.
to your list of yeah. things where there is outside money yeah. trying to fund the destabilization of this country when it suits them.
Yeah.
And if Donald Trump is able to win on November 5th, okay, and survive, if there's another assassination attempt, who, God forbid, okay, I'm just going to say it's miraculous because I don't know how anyone faces, as you put it, these headwinds. And gets through this.
It just seems BLM and Antifa. I think they were on. I heard they were on vacation with Code Pink.
Yes,
which also has disappeared. Yes.
Why were there no riots? I never thought about it. It's summertime.
Yeah,
but it's because Joe Biden's president, and we don't want riots when Joe Biden's president. So the money dries up, and all the radical protesters stay home. But it is. It is comparable, if you're going to make the argument, George Floyd, white cops, okay, Sonya Massey, white cops, it's a comparable situation, but the reaction is completely different.
I've heard people say that if Donald Trump does manage to win, Katie bar the door between November and January, and even after January, because all these rent-a-mobs
yep.
are going to be out in force and absolutely reckon doing whatever damage they can do.
Yeah.
All bets are off is what I'm hearing. It's going to be.
I wonder how many of those are going to be illegal immigrants or illegal people coming across the border because we've got stories of sanctuary cities.
Let's talk about some of these stories.
What a transition. You're the king of transitions there.
Got you, dude. I got you. Yeah,
that was good.
I think,
well played.
I think Wesley was tired of talking about election.
Yeah.
Just thinking.
Yeah, just thinking.
Well, I've got four stories here that are just really kind of amazing, and I'm going to start here with what's going on in Denver.
But hold on real quick. These aren't made up. Okay,
no.
These aren't fiction.
These are stunning.
Yes.
Four news stories.
These are about to shock you. So, and another thing is, help us, listening audience, just try to put yourself in the shoes of a sanctuary city or the suburbs, just
right.
outside the sanctuary cities, because a lot of these types of situations, most of these types of situations, we are, if it's out of sight, out of mind, and we don't think anything about it, which is why I'm trying to help us. Let's really pretend like we're right there on the edge of some of these sanctuary cities.
Right.
Go ahead.
Here's what's going on. Denver, Colorado, is a sanctuary city. It has invited all who want to come, and they've come. There's a ton of illegal immigrants there, including gang members from Venezuela. The gang is called the Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua. It's a fairly violent gang that has taken root, but not only in Denver. They have decided to go into the suburbs of Denver, like you were saying, Wesley, Aurora being one of them, which is not a sanctuary city.
Right.
They don't want all influx of these, but they've got it. They've got this gang. This gang is doing violent crime. It's doing sex trafficking. Families have been threatened. They've taken over entire apartment complexes. When they threaten the families move out, and within an hour, a Venezuelan family will move in to the empty apartment. So that's one immigration problem that they're having in Colorado. Meanwhile, in California.
And that's the ripple effect of having a sanctuary city. That's inevitable.
Right. Which
it's a matter of time. Yes. It's inevitable.
Which is the ripple effect of having an open border.
Right.
Yep.
Well, in so the California Senate passed a bill 23-11 on Tuesday That would allow up to $150,000 in assistance on the down payment of a house. Now, in California, $150,000 is a down payment. It comes nowhere close to buying the house.
Right.
But illegal immigrants are now eligible to sign up for this program where they can get a $150,000 loan, which if they can't afford, I'm thinking if they can't afford the down payment, how are they going to afford the mortgage? That loan probably is not going to be repaid, and it will probably be forgiven, but the mortgage company doesn't. This is how the housing crisis in 2008 started.
And this is for the entire state of California?
It's a California state.
So yeah, the taxpayers, many of whom themselves cannot afford to buy a house, are paying for the government in California to give this guaranteed money, this loan,
right,
to illegals.
It's available to all Californians of low income. It's a lottery, but up and until this bill passed, or unless this bill passes, illegal immigrants are not on the list, but they want to put them on the list.
All right.
Number three. In Massachusetts, Republicans there, and they are a minority like they are in California, want to know what's happened to $1 billion.
With a B.
With a B. Of tax money that has been spent on migration that is behind what they're calling a veil of secrecy. It's $1 billion in secret migrant crisis spending. The Healey-Driscoll administration, this is a quote from Mass GOP chair Amy Cardavalli. The Healey-Driscoll administration has shrouded nearly $1 billion spent in secrecy, leaving Massachusetts residents in the dark. They have withheld critical information on 600 incidences involving the police, fire, and EMT, blocking journalists at every turn. The administration has obstructed the flow of information to the public.
That's so bad that the Republican Party has had to file FOIA requests to legally compel the government to give information that should have been readily available,
right,
that the media should have been asking for, that the public in Massachusetts has a right to know.
Yep.
Okay. And that is a state which has in which the Democratic Party has a supermajority.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no hope of Republicans ever making any changes in that state while the Democrats hold a supermajority.
So we've heard about the ravages of immigration in Colorado, in Mississippi, in Massachusetts, and in California.
Yes.
Okay. Federally. The Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, is about to restart a program of amnesty, of asylum for certain people that was accused of being riddled with mass fraud. So what was happening was they had this program where you could get immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela could apply for legal entry and temporary work authorization in the United States without going through all of the details, right? They just come on in because I guess these are
no countries, hoops to jump.
Yeah. These are countries that are oppressed and everything.
Yeah.
Well, look, they have about 101,000 applicants to this program, but every one of them is supposed to have a sponsor. There's someone that can say that, okay, if they come in, we'll make sure that they can pay their way and everything.
Yeah.
101,000 applicants. The claims of sponsorship were filed by 3,200 people. Serial sponsors, basically.
All right, now I'm a little confused here. Yeah. All right, so
let me read this. An internal DHS report reviewed by NBC News found that almost 101,000 applications to sponsor migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, and Ukraine were filed by 3,218 so-called serial sponsors.
Okay, so there should have been 101,000 sponsors,
right,
for 101,000 people coming in. Instead, 3,200 people sponsored, basically
just
sponsored.
Give me a name, I'll write my name down. Give me a name, I'll write my name down. This is okay, according to the Biden administration. We got to get these people in. By the way, Venezuelans on that list. What were we having a problem in Denver with? Venezuelan gangs.
These 101 aren't already here. They're wanting to come. Is that correct?
No. These are applications that were either fulfilled or on the way, and then they noticed that the sponsorship was off.
Oh boy.
So listen, all right, let me just say, I keep expecting people to go to prison for everything that's been happening over the last 3.5 years. More than that, I keep expecting someone to go to prison, somebody to go to prison for all the lying to FISA judges, with all the Trump accusations, all this stuff that the last 3.5 years that the Biden administration, complete, just ignoring law, breaking law, looking at it. I keep expecting someone to go to prison for something, and nobody ever does.
No, well, Trump might.
Yeah, right. If you go back to the first story of in California, they were trying to make it legal for illegal immigrants to apply for a $150,000 loan.
Right.
Was that grant?
A loan, but loan. Very,
very similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not going to have to repay it.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody catch that? They're illegal and they're signing up for something.
Yes.
That means we know.
But that's because it's a sanctuary state.
But in California, they're signing up for welfare. They're signing up for driver's licenses. They're signing up for all kinds of services.
I guess what I'm saying is we've come so far that we move, not us here, and that not those that think or the way we think about how immigration should work, but the others, you're admitting they're illegal.
Right.
When you make the rule. So that would mean this is simple. Send them back.
Yeah, but they're not. But they won't do that because they're sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, and they're not cooperating with the federal government, who doesn't want to deport them anyway.
Okay, listen, I need to get to the story. I want to get to end story. Right. Good news. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
I don't believe you can. But
yeah, well, let's see. Okay. We're going. Something's happening at Ohio State University, and it's led by the football team, football team of all things. This is a TikTok video that someone's describing. Cut 8.
These Ohio State football players just did something on campus that I have never seen before. A free event put on by some of the Buckeyes' biggest stars collected thousands from the Ohio State community and grew even more throughout the night. It was all about sharing their faith in Jesus, which started with everybody coming together to worship, and the energy was amazing. Each of the players went up to share their stories of how their relationship with Jesus has changed their lives and how much God loves each and every person in the crowd. Courageous attendees took a leap of faith to come up front and pray a prayer to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it only gets better. Late into the night, with everyone taking notice, person after person made the decision to get baptized, which is a public profession of their faith, and lives are going to be changed forever.
Man, God is working on college campuses. I hear this once or twice a month at different schools.
Yeah, and this kind of started. Asbury College was the first in Kentucky. Was the first one I heard about. This was last summer.
It lasted a month or so.
Yes. And listen, our young people are the future, and I just thank God that He has not forgotten them. And this is good news. And there were hundreds of young people
baptized,
that were taking part in this at Ohio State. I didn't see the crowd. Was it hundreds, thousands? What?
A lot. The huge crowd. Yeah. Huge crowd.
So, folks, God doesn't get on CNN very often.
That's right.
Okay, so.
And if He did, He wouldn't have to have the Holy Spirit sitting next to Him.
Yeah. Remember that God is working behind the scenes. Just because CNN and MSNBC don't pay any attention doesn't mean it isn't happening.
That's right.
So, hey, listen, that's all the time we have for
1,000 people. We're at the
1,000 people thousand students. So, folks, things are happening. Hey, listen, that's all the time we have to discuss it. Steve, you came through. That was a good news story.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We hope you'll tune in. AFR.net, check out that podcast drop-down menu. Lots of great stuff there.